Hey there, and welcome to the Therapy Podcast. I'm Dr. B, your host and licensed mental health therapist. In each episode, we're diving into the real, raw, and relatable aspects of mental health. We're talking about triggers, coping strategies, and how to handle the emotional roller coaster that we call life. Because let's face it, mental health is not separate from our daily lives, it's a part of it. So if you're ready to talk about it, you're in the right place. Let's go.
And it's okay not to be okay.
One in five adults experience mental illness. One in five.
No one can ever use your mental illness against you.
We have to have trust that people can help.
I just got a grasp on it in the past year because I've been dealing with anxiety my whole life, so I started going to therapy for it.
But I think the most important thing I got is that everything is connected.
My mom has dealt with anxiety, so a lot of times stuff is within your family, but if you never named it, if you didn't...
And then it's up to us to show compassion, to reach out, connect, help folks find the hope and the support they need.
All right, so welcome back to another episode of the Therapy Podcast. Today, I'm joined with a special guest. So I actually invited my cousin today, y'all. So I might like him a little bit. So this is Daniel. So Daniel, tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. Daniel. I work in tech. I'm a product manager. I also cook a little bit on the side. So, you know, check me out. Go look at my little cooking reels whenever you have a moment. But yeah, that's just me.
All right. So on today's episode, we are going to talk about what does vulnerability in men look like and men who go to therapy. So Daniel, as a millennial male, what does the concept of vulnerability mean to you?
I think the concept of vulnerability means being able to be open to your true feelings and emotions and actually expressing those. So a lot of times when we say that men aren't vulnerable, it's not that they're not feeling or experiencing emotions. It's just that they're suppressing or repressing them because of certain factors in their life. So just being open to actually experiencing and feeling those emotions is really necessary. And then that's what I would say just is being vulnerable.
Absolutely. So when we think about how many men were taught as boys not to cry and things like that, do you think those kind of statements when you are younger or even for people that you know really do make an impact as you're growing up?
Yeah. I think a lot of times we've been taught, you know, not to cry and to repress those feelings. And as we have grown and gotten older, it's just become kind of cyclical for us to follow that same like pattern. But we don't know for a fact that, you know, we're kind of hurting ourselves in that moment by not being true with ourselves and not being able to actually fully express or fully feel those emotions.
Yeah. So there's often a stigma associated with men expressing their feelings. And you talked about this a little bit already. Have you personally ever experienced that in your life?
Somewhat. I don't think about personally like how I've experienced it. It's just kind of, when you think back onto just hanging out with friends sometimes, just actually existing in familial spaces at certain events, at like holidays, cookouts and dinners and things of that sort. And you think about certain times where someone told you to just suck it up or certain times where you wanted to express your emotions and someone pulled you to the side and just like, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Or questioning why you're doing that as opposed to actually digging down into what your response is and what that meant for you and how you felt in that moment, then at those times we just kind of push those to the side as normal things that are happening. Once we get older, we recognize that it's really not normal and that there's better ways to be able to deal with your emotions, to actually feel them, work through them and what they mean to you and what they mean for your future going forward.
Yeah, because even when you say that, it makes me wonder, like, at what point do or have you or even as people that you know, right, like, how do you identify, like, who's safe for you to talk to or express your emotions with?
I think that's just built on the trust that you build with someone. So it's kind of crazy to say, but I feel more trusting and open with some of my friend group than, you know, some family members simply because you know for a fact what their response will be.
Agreed.
We in the same family, you already know. You know what their response is going to be. You know what reaction they'll have to you trying to have a vulnerable moment with them. And I mean, we've grown, we're adults now, so we know for a fact, I know who I can go to and who's going to give me the response of, wow, like really listen to me, really sit down and give me the time of day to at least let me vent or talk through it, and then maybe give me some reprieve if I'm looking for that. Some people may just actually just want to allow you the opportunity to be open.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's just built on that trust that you've built with that person, with that friend group, with that family member. And you kind of know your channels and know your lanes in which you're able to express yourself freely.
Awesome. And so you've been in therapy before.
Yes.
More than once, or explore more than one therapist.
Explore more than one therapist.
And so let me clarify that, because I do tell people, like, therapy is not a one size fit all. It's not perfect, right? It's like almost like looking for the perfect mate. Like, sometimes you have to try and fire people before you find the right person.
That's true.
But what are some of the factors or events that led you to consider actually seeking therapy in the first place?
I would say that just certain life events. Everyone has a different reason for going to therapy. Mine initially, like years and years ago, was a really bad breakup that I was going through. But it could be any like significant life event, such as losing a family member, such as losing, like, not even a family member, just a loved one, losing a job, it could be the opposite for some people. But I think just any significant life event is what actually, my significant life event was a breakup. And that's what caused me to actually want to start working through my emotions and actually, you know, feeling them and not just repressing them and not just saying like, hey, like, it's okay, like, I'll just get through this. But working with a licensed professional, a trained professional, to be like, what does this mean for me now? Mm-hmm. What does it mean for me later?
Okay. When deciding to go to therapy, do you feel like you had to navigate any hesitations or societal pressures about men with regard to seeking help?
Not necessarily. I will say that I think that we in society have gotten more progressive.
Yeah.
So that there is more of a support. Like, if I'm not ashamed to tell my friends that, like, I've gone to therapy or that I'm currently in therapy and working through things. In the past, like when I first went, there wasn't necessarily, I didn't feel the need to tell them, but I didn't feel as though I was going to be shunned or made fun of or anything. I think it was kind of touching back to our topic before. It was just that actual knowing who you can trust and building that trust with someone. So when I first started going, I wasn't telling anyone except I think I was telling you.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you. But besides that, I didn't feel the need to tell anyone else because I also knew for a fact I was doing the work.
Yeah.
And I don't need to, like, you know, like showboat or say, like, yeah, like, I'm doing this great thing. Like, I'm working to get better. Like, wow, like, this for me. Like, I'm the one internally who's feeling this. So in that moment, I didn't feel as though there would be any pressure or any negative response to it. I just didn't feel the need to tell anyone in that moment. But I will say that if I had told someone, I do feel like I still would have gotten a positive response. Pretty similar to the response I've gotten now. Like, a lot of my friends know, a lot of my family members know, that I'm regularly going to therapy. So I think that's the common response nowadays.
Cool. So can you tell us, what has therapy actually done for you?
Yeah. Working through emotions. And I know that sounds like a broad term, but I think that once again, it's kind of how we perceive, like, how we're feeling.
Yeah.
And we believe that just having like a big cry session or being able to just kind of like sit in your shit for a day and it's like normal. And then the next day we're just like, damn, like, all right, cool. Like, we'll get through it. And there's different ways that you're able to handle those emotions in the moment. So right now I'm working with my therapist currently to have different outlets in which I'm able to express my emotions. So if I'm going through something very big, that's life changing, that it's causing me to have depressed feelings, if I'm going through something that, you know, is causing me to want to stay in bed all day, it's like, damn, like, you can't necessarily do that, but let's just see what's going to be healthy for you, what's going to get you back out there to be able to say, hey, I'm ready to continue on with my life. I'm ready to know for a fact that these emotions are here. I'm dealing with them. I'm hurt right now. I'm struggling. But also, it doesn't mean it has to be the end of my life.
Yeah.
So literally just different tactics with that. And it's, I mean, I would say it's helped me immensely. Like, yeah, I still had the days where I'm not trying to get up, you know.
I mean, we all are, right? Like, therapy doesn't equal the absence of pain, right? Yeah. Or the absence of, hard
and experiences. I think that is a common misconception. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if I'm being honest, that was the mindset of a lot of our parents and our generations before us, because when we say we're going to therapy, they're looking at you like, well, are you crazy? Are you mentally insane? And it's like, nah, like, I'm just dealing with a lot of shit right now, especially like for us, like with, I would say just as millennials, like we've bridged the gap between, you know, having like no technology and now having crazy technology and having all of these like different changes, like with the housing market, with like job markets and things of that sort. So it's a lot of stuff we have to deal with that like a lot of our parents, I don't want to say didn't have to, but dealt with it in a different way. So it's new for us.
Yeah.
And us being able to have that outlet is, I mean, I feel like it's so necessary.
One huge misconception about therapy or going to therapy, to see a therapist, is like they're going to give you advice. Mm-hmm. And so our job as therapists is not to give advice. Okay. The job is to help you to come up with your own solutions, provide coping strategies, et cetera. Was that something that came as a surprise to you when you were working with a therapist, that they weren't necessarily just jumping out there to tell you exactly what to do?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because I think when we go to therapy, my first thought also was like, yo, like, I'm broken right now. I'm hurt. Like, fix me.
Okay.
And so there is that misconception. But I think as you continue to work through it, and once again, as you said, trial and error, like I'm on my second therapist right now, trial and error with meeting and going through the process with someone who is actually going to allow you that space, build that trust with someone to be able to actually like have you start thinking about your own decisions.
Yeah.
Like, when I first got there, I was just like, all right, like I said, like I'm broken, like fix me. But
I wish it was that easy.
As you're stating, yes, it's like, like this isn't really why you, I mean, it's why you come to therapy, but it's not your job to fix me. It's my job to fix me, and it's like your job to help guide me through that process. Yeah. So yes, common misconception, like debunked.
How do you think that we can actually encourage more open conversations about mental health amongst men and really encouraging them to go out and seek support for themselves?
I hadn't thought about this question. I think you have to, I don't want to just say like create a space for men, because I feel like that's too broad and it's too easy, because we have like a lot of spaces where, you know, a lot of men go to congregate. You can go to different church spaces, or even if you want to go just like on the streets, like hosting like events or something like downtown. But I think within those spaces, you have to find a niche. And so with the scale of it just being like men, like maybe scaling that down currently to Black men, and then scaling that down to like Black men within the DMV, then scaling that down a little bit more, because I feel like, one, if you're trying to reach a target market, you have to make sure that you're providing value to like one small subset of like groups or customers. So as you find that like specific niche, and maybe that is hosting events or hosting an event downtown for like friends of male therapists or friends of therapists in general, like a small subset of groups, as you continue to build upon that, it'll grow. Because I mean, you know, men, like it's easy to just say like, we want to create a safe space for you. It's easy to throw some sort of party. It's easy to throw some sort of event. But you also want to gear it towards, you know, what you believe it would, how you're trying to add value.
You also want to make sure that you're sparking the right conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like it has to be targeted. And if you're able to tap into that group, like, I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm very close to my friend group.
Yeah.
Like I'm super close to my guys. So if you tap into like one of us and you found that, you know, this is successful, it's only going to grow. And I do feel like there's a lot of camaraderie amongst Black men, especially Black men in the DMV. Like I have a very large friend group. And I know for a fact that we all come out to support each other when there's something that we're pushing towards or, you know, something that we're doing that we're hoping is going to change the scope of either our lives or someone else. Like, we have a big support system. So if you are targeting the right small subset group first, as that continues to grow, I feel like you're going to have that level of camaraderie, that level of support where, you know, Black men in general, just feel that love, feel that trust, and they're able to, you know, get your message,
yeah,
like about, you know, wanting to go to therapy, wanting to create safe spaces for you to be open, be vulnerable, and continue to work on yourself.
I agree with that, because I think too, like, once you find that it can happen, right, in these everyday spaces, these everyday events, it actually normalizes like what it means to talk about what you're going through and even like painful emotions that could come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what is some advice that you will offer to someone who is struggling or hesitant about going to therapy for the first time? A male, particularly.
Yeah. I would say, honestly, the best thing to do is try. And when I know that sounds like really just like, like maybe shitty advice, but the first thing to do is just try. If there is any skepticism or any hindrance of like what you might feel or just opening yourself up to someone who you don't know, then maybe talk to a friend who you know goes to therapy.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, reach out to, I feel like we all do have those outlets. I know a lot of people who do keep just everything inside, but even those people have like one person, you know.
Do they? Because some people talk to at least one person. It gets scary a little bit, right? Because I think sometimes there's so much fear about like being judged, whether it's right, a close friend or not, that people don't always tell the truth, even if it's the one person, or they give half of the story.
That is also correct.
Story.
So that's correct, but one of the things I would challenge is the fact that if they're that like boxed in, yeah, about opening up at all, then even that sliver of truth, and not, yeah, to, hopefully they're not twisting it in a way that, you know, is just totally, yeah, unfounded, but even that sliver of truth, that half truth, is the step where it's like, hey, like, okay, I want to be able to, yeah, to get to this point. So, I mean, take that as like a little win, a small win.
Like, still reward that. So we, exactly, can get to the next
and
step.
Then it's like, yeah, hey, like, at this point, now at least you spoke to me. What's the next step? And you either opening up to me more or opening, mm-hmm, up to someone else more. Like, what does that look like for you? What does that take?
Yeah.
I mean, it's different steps for everyone. So, like I said, it really comes down to building that trust. And if you're that person who someone confides and you know that they're not talking a lot, mm-hmm, then maybe, like I said, like just listen to them in that moment and then just ask them, you know, in the next time, like whenever they're willing or open to be vulnerable or willing to talk about that subject again, it's like, well, what's the next step in this? And, you know, do it from a place of love. And I think that's what your job as well. And I know my therapist as well, you know, like everything is rooted in a place of love, a place of camaraderie, a place of wanting to see you do better.
Yeah.
I feel like the goal is for me to like not be in therapy, because
you gotta evolve and graduate.
Exactly. Like, it's not meant to be forever. I don't think so. I feel like it's meant to help you, you know, start managing and dealing with your emotions and
build your own toolbox.
Build your own toolbox. Yeah. And then it's like, all right, now, you know, you can be, I don't want to say sent off into the world, but you.
I mean, you're right, though. Every step is a step forward. And right. I don't know if you remember this, but the very first time that you even talked about wanting to go to therapy and being a little hesitant about it, I told you to start with a text line.
You did. I actually did. Damn, okay.
Anybody who's hesitant, I always encourage them to start with a text line first, just because it's like, it's a text message. This person doesn't know. Yeah,
you're already texting people.
And it's almost like you get to see like what a typical response might look like to make people, or to get you to warm up a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that's usually like my first recommendation sometimes. And then, like you said, it's always kind of reminding people, like, just do it. Like, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. You go to a therapist once and let's say, you know, you open up in that little moment. I mean, at least telling them why you think you're there. Mm-hmm. You might not, you know, you're not going to. The first time I went to therapy, I didn't tell her everything.
Yeah.
But as you continue to, you know, build that level of trust, then you start to get more comfortable with them and just really hone, or like really want to say, it is trial and error. It is.
Yeah.
You're not going to like everybody. You're not going to vibe with everybody. I found out, to be honest, I started out with a woman therapist. I found more comfort in going to a male therapist at this moment. And I don't think that there's any issue with that. There's no problem in saying like, hey, I tried this and it didn't work, but we need to make sure that you're trying again. Yeah. Like even you have asked me over the years, like, hey, like, are you still in therapy? There have been times where I've taken breaks from it.
We all have, yeah.
Yeah. Just didn't go for a while. And then just found myself where it's like, damn, like I'm really back. You know, I've taken two steps forward and I think I'm okay. And then like, you know, 6 months or a year later, it's like, damn, like I'm back in this space again. And I'm not really knowing how to actually navigate it and want to be able to.
Yeah. And I think that's important too, right? Because there's a couple of different things. Like we can graduate from therapy and then find ourselves going back. One, not because we're not doing better, but because something is just different happening in our lives, yeah. Right? And that can even be a reason to find a new therapist. Like every therapist that you meet is not meant for every problem. And sometimes graduating could be that I need to go somebody who was more specialized in something else. Or if you do find yourself repeating the same cycles, it might be, did I really develop
skills?
Yeah. Or was that literally just venting?
Exactly.
I'll say some accountability and self-reflection there too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head, like literally what we were speaking about earlier. Sometimes you need to just vet, but within that, you need to be able to say, well, what's the next step forward so that the position that I found myself in, I don't want to be here again.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're always going, like you said, we're always going to go through the pain. Going to therapy doesn't mean it's taking it away, but it's providing you ways that you're able to at least like mitigate it, work through it, and work through it in a healthy way. Yeah. Like my therapist automatically got on me for, you know, unhealthy habits when when you're dealing with shit and just like struggling through it. And building those healthy habits, I mean, it's key. It's how we're going. It's the only way that we can keep waking up every day and then like looking ourselves in the mirror and saying like, cool, like I'm gonna, you know, attack this day with maybe not even 100%, but like 90%, and I'm gonna shoot for 100%, you know?
Good. Well, I do hope that somebody out there, some millennial male or black male in general, was able to really see like just how important it is. And like, we want our black men to be healthy as well. So any takeaways that you want to leave with our listeners today before we say goodbye?
I mean, I think it's the same thing that we've been touching on. Therapy has been a very helpful tool. Like if I could just like make like a candid statement.
Yeah.
It's been very helpful for me as a man, as a black man as well, because I feel like there are a lot of things obviously that we go through that people, like you say, like we just brush it off to the side. We just say, hey, we're supposed to be okay. Or we just vent about it and then there's no actual work involved to move forward to get us to a place where we're not putting ourselves in this position again. Or when we do feel the way we feel, we know how to deal with it in a healthy way. So, I mean, the only thing I would say is just continue to reach out to your loved ones, your friends who are therapists. And, you know, if you're not in therapy or if you feel like you may need to go or it could help you in some way, just ask the question. Like, just ask like, hey, like, how did it help you? You know, lean on your brothers, lean on your family members, whoever your loved ones are that you have built that trust with and built that bond with. But being realistic, those people aren't licensed, you know, to help us work through and give us the tools that we need to, you know, start dealing with these issues on our own. So just speak to someone about it. And like you said, we want to see I want to see all my brothers healthy. I want to see all my brothers in a better mental state, in the best mental state that they can be. I want to see everyone achieving their goals and their dreams and getting to those highest places. And I believe therapy is definitely necessary for us to achieve that.
Awesome. Awesome. So in the show notes, I'll make sure that I put in some resources about like different types of therapists that you can find, the license types that you need, and just really how to get started. So Daniel, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right. And listeners, until next time, we hope that you live well, be well, and you took something away. Bye, guys.